We're going to talk about prayers tonight. I didn't plan it this way, but the lesson this morning, talking about living in a dangerous land, prayer in our lives is essential because of what kind of place we live in. And we all understand that God hears our prayers. And sometimes we may question why He doesn't answer immediately. And I think part of that is us. We expect God to answer us right away, especially if we're in trouble or in stress or whatever. It's almost like a child demanding from the parent, "Give it to me now. I want it now." And they don't always get what they want right away, do they? In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, and verses 11 and 12, Jesus, I believe, gives an analogy along this line. He says there, beginning in verse 11, "If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will you give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion?" God is going to answer our prayers. It may not be the way we want it answered. It may not be on the time frame that we want it answered. But I believe, partly because we live in what I'll term as a microwave society, we push the button and it's cooked within a matter of minutes. That's the way we want things, everything else in life. So what's your attitude about prayer? Is your attitude about prayer expectant? Is it expecting prayer to be answered right away? Or is it just an attitude of expectation, knowing that your prayers will be heard and answered? If so, then you might still be lacking in your understanding of prayer. The attitude of selfish and self-centered in its expectations of prayer shows in the way we expect our prayers to be answered. And yet, we don't have a mature faith in God concerning prayer if we expect Him to answer when I ask. Prayer has a place, a power, and it has possibilities in the Christian's life. The first thing I want to talk about tonight is the place of prayer in the Christian's life. We all understand that the Christian has many blessings. And one of those blessings or privileges of being a Christian is prayer. And sometimes we live in a world that sometimes people come to us, and I've had this happen to me. They know I'm a Christian, they knew I was a preacher, and they would come to me and say, "Would you pray for whoever in my life?" And I've asked them. I used to ask one person in particular that I worked with, "Well, why don't you pray?" And he would flat out tell me, "I know my prayers are unanswered." And I'd say, "Well, why? How do you know that your prayers are not being answered?" And he would just say, "Because of the life I live." How sad of a statement is that? But it's an understanding that prayer is a privilege for the child of God. Prayer is an expression. We read in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, beginning in verse 14, the writer says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession." He says in verse 15, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, without sin." Verse 16, he says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." That's the privilege of prayer. Knowing that we can come before God, humbly talking to God and asking Him to hear our prayers. But prayer is an expression. It's an expression in this privilege that we have of our relationship that we have with God. God hears His children when they plead to Him. In Galatians 4 and verse 6, Paul writes, "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father." God wants to hear our prayers. He wants us to implore Him. He wants us to beseech Him. He wants us to look out, seek for Him so that we can talk to Him and pour out our prayers, our hearts to Him. It is the relationship again of a father and a child. And we are dependent upon God. He is our supplier. He supplies everything that we need. He is our protector. He is our deliverer. And the list goes on about what we can draw from God, what we can receive from God. But we trust in that privilege that we can have as Christians, that privilege of prayer and the blessings that come from those prayers. When we talk about the blessings of being a Christian, a child of God, this is one of those things that the rest of the world really doesn't have. It doesn't mean that God doesn't hear their prayers. You look at Acts chapter 10 and Cornelius, his prayers went up as a sweet-smelling savor to the Lord. He heard his prayers. God hears the prayers of everyone, but He answers more rapidly, more hurriedly, if you will, those of a faithful child of God. There is a place of prayer. But also, prayer is a powerful tool in the arsenal of a Christian. When we talk about the temptations that the devil throws at us, as Brother Albert said in this meeting that we had earlier, the devil knows what my weakness is. He knows what your weakness is. And he uses that as a powerful tool to try to win you over from God. Prayer is just as powerful on the opposite side of the spectrum. Prayer is a powerful tool in the child of God. James talks about that in James 5. Beginning in verse 16, he says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed." He goes on to say, "The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." That's why people in the world come to you and ask you for your prayers. This fellow that I used to work with has a grandson that suffered health issues most of his young life. He's a teenager now. And he suffered a lot. And it was almost a continual thing, him coming to me, "Jeff, would you pray for," and he'd name his grandson. After a while, I quit asking him why he didn't pray, because he'd already told me. But he understands. He may not know what the scripture says here about the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, but he understands the principle that if he wants God to hear his prayers, he's got to change his life, but he doesn't want to do that. But he still wants God to look down with tender mercies upon his family. James goes on in verse 17. It says, "Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit." We see here that faith empowers the Christian. It empowers our prayers because we believe that God's going to hear our prayers. We believe that God will answer our prayers. It may be on His time frame, but we have faith that God will do that. That's why prayer is such a powerful tool that we have. But also, as James pointed out, righteousness empowers our prayers. If I'm going through the motions, we talked about Judas this morning in Bible class, that he was one of the 12, but he wasn't loyal to the Lord. He wasn't faithful. If we're like Judas and just going through the motions of serving the Lord, what does that say about our righteousness? If I'm pretending to be righteous, what does that say about my expectations on prayers being answered? If I'm just a part-time Christian or going through the motions of Christianity, then I'm not righteous. And I need to understand that righteousness is what makes my prayers empowered, knowing that God's going to answer them. James chapter 5, as we just noticed, chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Elijah, that he mentions there in 1 Kings chapter 18. Along that line, obedience empowers our prayers. Being obedient to the Lord. 1 John 5 and verse 14 tells us that we have to ask according to God's will. You can't ask for $1 million and expect Him to give it to you, because chances are that may not be according to His will. You can pray for health. You can pray for other people's health. You can pray for different things, but you have to do it within the confines of what He tells us. It's got to be in harmony with His word. And that comes with us submitting to His will. Look at Jesus in the garden in Matthew 26. When He prayed, "Let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but your will be done." Even the Son of God understood that His prayers had to be according to the Father's will. And this prayer, it wasn't answered the way Jesus prayed it. The cup didn't pass from Jesus, because it was God's will that He die on the cross. This doesn't mean that God has predestined all that's going to occur and we are just to acknowledge that point. What it does mean is that we are humbly submissive to His purposes and His overriding will. You have to be willing to submit to the answer that He gives for your prayer. Then it has to be free of covetousness. Go back to James chapter 4 and verse 3, and James talks about that. It can't be that you want that $1 million and you expect God to give it to you, because that goes along the lines of covetousness. The place of prayer, the power of prayer. Now let's talk about the possibilities of prayer. Paul talks in Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 6, he says, "Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Be anxious for nothing. Let me tell you something. Going along with this lesson, and I probably should have made this comment in the last section of the power of prayer. If I asked you tonight, do you believe in the power of prayer? When Paul speaks here, says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication," do you believe that? Do you really believe that? I do. I've seen prayers answered. Maybe not to the extent that I want them to be answered, but I have seen prayers answered. I know God answers prayers. Look at my grandson. I know that God answers prayers. He's answered your prayers for my grandson. Look at our members here. And you know, you have to know that God answers our prayers. In everything, by prayer and supplication, don't be anxious for anything. We all will never know all the workings of God. We don't know. We will never understand all of the workings of God. It's not in us to know the mind of God. But our prayers go answered because of His will. The great preacher wrote in Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 11, "He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, He has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. We don't know the workings of God. We can't understand, we can't begin to fathom the mind of God. But what I can do is have faith in the possibilities of His prayer. You know, I've told you before that I was asked to say a prayer years ago at El Bethel, and I prayed like we all pray, speaking about men. And praying public prayers, and I prayed, you know, Lord, we ask that You'll be with the sick and that You'll give them a certain measure of health. I had a man who was an elder at another church. He came up to me and he says, if you ever pray for me and I'm sick, consider the possibilities of God. Now, and he says to me, I know God can heal me completely, and that's what I want you to pray for me. I'd never thought about it. I'd never thought about asking God to heal somebody completely. Now, that doesn't mean He will. It doesn't mean that He's going to restore someone's health 100% or even to what they were in their youthful ages. But it does mean that I have to have faith in the possibility that, yes, God can answer my prayers. And I believe in the power of Him answering prayers. In Deuteronomy 29, in verse 29, Moses writes here, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of His law. We have to have faith. We have to be obedient. And we're certain that God answers our prayers. Go back to Luke chapter 11. And we are certain that God always answers us in love. It's like the child in the toy store. Give me this, give me this, give me this. And they ask for 25 different things and you give them one thing. Did you hate them because you didn't give them the other 24? Do you hate your child because you don't give them everything that they want at Christmas time? No. You still love them. They may not perceive it as that because you didn't give them everything they wanted. And just because God may not answer every word of our prayer doesn't mean that He doesn't love us or loves us less. But He loves us and He will answer our prayers. But you know, without direct revelation, we have no way of precisely pinpointing the time and the place that God will answer those prayers. You know, I've told you about my grandson, the one that some of you keep asking about, the one that has the George syndrome. And when it was announced how he, before birth, what he was going to have, we all thought the worst. We all Googled it, we all researched it, and we all come back with, this is going to be a terrible thing. Terrible. Short-lived life. If he makes it to birth, and now he's over a year old, he's walking, he's talking. Because of some of the complications from this syndrome, he doesn't have a strong voice. He doesn't cry as loud as the others, which sometimes that's not a bad thing. But for the most part, considering what's wrong with him, he's healthy. You know, What I attribute that to? You and other Christians that prayed for him. And the fact that God answered your prayers and the prayers of others. I firmly believe that God answers our prayers. It may not be on our time frame. Granted, this child still has some things that he may have to go through later on in life. Some cosmetic surgeries to fix the roof or the palate, the roof of his mouth there. But he's healthy. And that's because God loves us and answers our prayers. Our focus in prayer ought to be aimed at the purpose and will of God in our lives. We ought to pray, as the Bible teaches us, if the Lord wills. For example, if we pray for peaceable lives, that's what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2. He says, therefore, I exhort, first of all, that all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Now, I might interject here, it doesn't matter if you like them or not, you have a responsibility to pray for them. All of us have a responsibility to pray for them. And he says that we might lead quiet, peaceable lives in all godliness and reverence. But what if I make all these prayers and intercessions and supplications on behalf of this leader and we still go to war? What if war comes after all this praying for peace? Does that mean God hasn't answered my prayer? No. What if we pray for someone that's sick? As we're told in James 5 in verse 14, James says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. But what if that sickness doesn't improve? It gets worse. Does that mean God doesn't care? Not at all. Not at all. It doesn't mean anything of the sort. It doesn't mean that he hasn't answered that prayer. What if we pray for vindication from evil, like in Revelation 6, verses 9 through 11? What we need to understand is that God's purposes extend beyond the moment of our lives. If he answered yes, be thankful and live by faith, 1 Thessalonians 5. If the answer is different than what we expected, continue to trust in God and always that he always will answer in ways that are best for us. Hebrews 5 and verse 7. Be steadfastly attentive. Persevere. Be watchful. Ephesians 6 and verse 18. God hears and answers the prayers of all his children. And we ought to always pray and not lose heart. Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. And as God's children, Christians trust in God and know that his answers are always best for us. It may not be what we expected. It may not be what we wanted. But it's the best thing for us. So we focus on faithfully serving God, on praying always, and on submitting to his will in all things. You know what I pray for? I pray for those that have never obeyed the gospel, that they will see the need to put Christ on in baptism, and that they will do so as soon as possible. I also pray for those that are erring from the truth, that have sin in their life and need to make correction, and that God will give them time to make that correction in their life. What about you? Will you answer prayers of others? If you need to put Christ on in baptism, would you do that tonight? If you're here as a child of God and you've gone back into the world, would you answer the prayers of others and return to Christ? Would you do that? Would you do that right now as we stand?